You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
We're going to be turning, those of you that will be with me, we can turn to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 27. And I'm going to read those scripture passages before we dive into them, because I do feel like that's nice to do, so you get the whole story up front, and then we'll kind of look at this encounter with Jesus that this young man had. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what could I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went his way sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. Jesus said it again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't usually do, and that is I'm going to bow for a word of prayer at this time, because I feel like we need to set our hearts straight on where the Lord wants us to go this morning, and we're going to pray together. So please join me in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I ask you in all humility to get me out of here. This is about your word. This is about your word protruding forth. And I pray, Lord, that you would move in a powerful way, that you would challenge hearts today, that you would set hearts where they need to be set, and that, Lord, you would just, again, remove all human elements at this point, and that your spirit would reign in a powerful way. For, Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen. We are in week 3 of our series, Encounters with Jesus. We have so far looked at his encounters with Nicodemus, and last week with the Samaritan woman, and all the things that were packed in there. Today, we're in the Gospel of Mark. And here's the question. It goes back to that video. How much of the stole does God have for you? How much? I don't ever think I would ever hear Jesus say, "I'm one cheek in it." But he does on the video. "You only give me a little part of the seat. You asked me to take the whole seat, but you're only giving me a little part of the seat." Maybe you're just not sure how to answer that. I absolutely love this new commercial that's out by AT&T. And it's this surgeon that's coming back from being reinstated. It's the words that are said after the surgeon leaves the room that make me think sometimes about my spirituality. We're going to watch that commercial. Yes, I downloaded that commercial. And we're going to watch it right now.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay, especially when it...
I cut some of it. I did not want to say that I was promoting AT&T during worship service. But anyway, just okay is not okay. Those words spoke to me this past week when I saw that commercial, because they're showing it a lot during the NCAA basketball tournament, and I'm watching the tournament from time to time. And They spoke to me. Am I just okay with Jesus one-cheeking it? Am I just okay with Jesus getting a portion of the stole or getting the stole on Sunday and not on Monday? Am I just okay? And the temptation here is that when we start to dive into Mark chapter 10, the temptation is going to be that each one of you is going to sit inside of your own heads and you're going to say these words. Well, I'm not rich. So this has nothing to do with me. But what I want you to hear is not that this is a young rich ruler, because the Gospel of Mark actually does not mention that until the end of the story. And the only reason he mentions that is because he is sad after Jesus says, go sell all your stuff and give it to the poor. So Mark is not making it important that he is a rich person. I don't want you to make it important either. Because what I fear sometimes is when we come to this story, we look at the riches and we say, oh, here we go. Pastor's going to preach on giving all we can give to the church and all this stuff. And we get so wrapped up in that that we lose focus of what the story is really saying. It may not be riches for you. It might be attitude. It might be a heart problem. It might be sin. And when Jesus looks at you and says, you want to know how to inherit eternal life? Go take care of this. Then come back and follow me. You get very sad. Because it's not easy. And so in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is having this debate with this man. And the problem is, we're going to look at some of the problems, but here's what we're going to see. Jesus has a conversation about this very thing, about the conception in the world that we're all just okay. Isn't that the true story? I mean, how many of us have reached out to someone about Jesus and about what he can do in their lives, and they've kind of just put their hands in the air and said, I don't murder anyone. So, you know, that thing you say about him being the only way, the truth, and the life, well, you know what? He would allow me access to heaven because I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't done any of that stuff. So that doesn't matter for me. And Jesus looks right at this man, and you know, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to kind of get the sense of what's going on. He looks right at this man. He says, okay, maybe you have. But here's something. You put every one of your riches above me. So go sell them. And he turns and he walks away sad. What an encounter with Jesus. Here's how it affects us today. Let's go to number one on the screen here. Where we start matters. Where we start matters, okay? So in this conversation, where we start with our conversation with Jesus about our eternal destination, about our relationship with him, whatever it is, where we start matters. And here's why I say that. Look at verses 17. I think they'll be on the screen with you, before you. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God himself. No one is. And here's what's going on in this conversation. And we kind of read our New International Version, which is on the screen, or our New Living Translation, and we miss it. Here's what the guy is actually saying. Hey, good man, from one good man to another, how do I inherit eternal life? That's what he's literally saying here in this scripture passage. If you look at the sentence structure in the Greek, and you also look at the sentence structure even in the English, you can sense that this man is coming up and he's saying, hey, good teacher, from one good man to the other, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus puts the brakes on. Whoa, 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 whoa. No one is good except for God himself. Now, what Jesus is saying to him here, and picture this, Jesus is being humble. Because what Jesus could say is this. No one's good except for me, man. So don't come to me with good teacher. He could literally say that. But he swallows his pride, and not that Jesus is prideful, but he swallows that and he begins to look at it and he says, listen, if I'm going to reach this guy, we got to start at the cross. And at the cross, there is no mountains here, no ladders here, no steps here. And what I mean by that is that when all of us who are here today come up on this stage and we stand at the cross, and we're not going to do that today, don't worry about it, but if we all stood here, we would all be on the same level ground. Do you see a ladder? Do you see steps? Do you see a mountain that gets you to the top of the cross somehow? You don't. And what Jesus is starting with this conversation with this gentleman is he's saying, listen, sir, the first thing you got to realize is there is no one good except for me and my Father and the Holy Spirit. Because if you're going to start on the ground that you're somehow up here and Pastor Brett is down here, we've already started at the wrong place. That's what he's saying to him. So understand that Paul was not lying in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, when he says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I underlined all and made it a little bigger in your bulletins and also on the screen, because I want you to understand this, and this is tough. I want you, and I'm being facetious by saying this, I want you to get this. In the Greek, all means all. Okay, so no one can sit here and say, I'm not a part of that. Now, one person can sit in a sanctuary across America in any church and say, well, he said all, but he didn't really mean me when he said all. No, all means all have fallen short. All come to the cross on the same level. No one is a step ahead. No one is two steps above. No one, even me to you. And I mean that in all humility. Sometimes people think, well, you know, you somehow have a red phone in your office. Well, none of my phones work in my office right now. But somehow you have a red phone in your office that you can call God and you get in before I do. So Pastor Brett, if you're praying at 8 o'clock in the morning and I pray at 8 o'clock in the morning, God's going to hear your prayers over my prayers. No, 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 no. I don't want the pedestal. Because you know what people do with pedestals? They fall off of them. And so I don't want it. I want you to know that as your pastor, when we stand at the cross, I don't get some kind of uplifting that, you know, I go up higher. No, we are all going at this together. And so when you're frustrated and you're tired and you're saying to yourself, hey, I don't know if I can continue to do this, don't think I'm sitting over at my house saying, man, this is fun and I'm going to continue to do this every hour of the day. Because I struggle like you struggle. I have hurts like you have hurts. And what Jesus is saying to this man is, let's not start with the thought that we're both good here. Because that's just going to end in a bad problem. Because you, my friend, are not good. You're not. I'm not either. Now, Jesus isn't saying that. I'm saying that. You're not good and I'm not good. And that's what makes the church a beautiful thing. When a bunch of not good people get together and do good things. That's what the world is supposed to sit up and take notice to. when a bunch of not-so-good people get together and do good things. Now I'm preaching, though. I better get back onto the sermon. He gently yet apologetically says back to the guy, look, there's only one in the conversation that is good. So let's start there. Second, how we interact with others matters. And Jesus continues the conversation and he teaches us something by the conversation. And here's what he says, starting in verse 19. Go ahead, shoot it up there. I think I have 19 on there, do I? Yeah, okay. This was in red, but red doesn't show up on this screen, so it's in black right now. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And here we got the conflict. Remember what I said last week. When you're studying an encounter with Jesus, there's always this place where the conversation turns, and that's where the meat is. Here we are. And so Jesus begins to list off a bunch of different Ten Commandments, and some commentaries believe that he would have continued if he would not have been interrupted. But the man says, teacher, I get all of those because I've lived them since I've been a kid. I've not murdered anyone. I've honored my father and mother. I've not committed adultery. I've not stolen. I've done all those things. But I don't believe that Jesus would have continued, because here's why. Jesus focuses on the commandments that have to do with how we treat other people. He doesn't say, have no other gods before me. He says, do not commit adultery. Do not steal. And they all go back to how we interact with other people. And so he turns this conversation at this moment. So depending on who you read is what you get for the man's response to Jesus. But it's either a triumphant exclamation or a defensive reaction. So here's what the man is saying. He's either being very defensive, well, I've already done that, even though he knows full well he hasn't. We don't know. Jesus doesn't say, no, you have not. And probably showing a little grace here. Or he's triumphantly exclaiming, making an exclamation, and he's saying, hey, Jesus, all those you've mentioned, I did them. So I'm going to have eternal life? And Jesus turns. And in verse 21, I don't want you to miss it, because in 43 years of reading the Bible, not 43, I couldn't read it when I was a baby. But anyway, 40 years of reading the Bible, I never saw it. Here's what he says in verse 21. I think it's up. Is it on the screen? Yep. Okay. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I've missed that sentence. I'm admitting to you, I've preached this sermon before, and I missed it. So the guy comes in and he says these things. He says, do not commit adultery, do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. And he either exclamation point says, I did them all, I'm in good, I got eternal life, I'm so happy, or he's defensive. Oh, geez, I've done those. Even though he knows full well he hasn't. So we don't know which way it goes, because depending on what commentary you read or what studying person you read, they have all different opinions about what is going on here. But we know this. Whatever it was, Jesus' posture changes towards this man. He doesn't get angry and say, you did not. No, listen to verse 21. Jesus turns his posture and he loves him. So whether he's being defensive, Jesus loves him. Whether he's exclaiming something that is not true, he's lying, Jesus loves him. Whether he's doing something that we haven't even thought of this morning, Jesus loves him. There's nothing but love here. Jesus doesn't have an ounce of anger. He doesn't, and you know, we're sort of at the point where last week we talked about the Samaritan woman, and when he turns to her and says, go get your husband, and she says, five husbands. And what do we expect him to do? Five husbands you have. You are such a sinner. No, what does he do? You're right, you don't have one husband, you have five guys, and the guy you're with isn't your husband. But here's some living water, and I'm going to give it to you because I love you in spite of you. And he's doing the same thing here in this encounter. And here's what I want you to grasp. When you have an encounter with Jesus, whether it's tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whether it's later this afternoon, when you have an encounter with Jesus, don't ever walk away and say, Jesus is angry with me. Because I guarantee you, somewhere in the conversation you're having with Jesus, his posture will turn. And he will turn his posture towards love and grace. We've watched three different conversations. One with a guy who's teaching for the Jewish leadership. What does he show him? Love and grace. One with a Samaritan woman who's pretty much just doing her thing, sleeping around town. What's he show her? Love and grace. And now here we are with this young man who's wanting eternal life. He says he follows all the commandments that Jesus listed, even though we probably look back and say he probably didn't. And he may have to the degree of the law. And remember, Jesus changes that. You do know that. In Matthew 6 and 7, there's all these statements. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, you commit adultery when you even look at a woman with sin in your heart. See, Jesus changes it. Pharisees say, well, you got to get caught red-handed in order to do that. And Jesus says, no, even if you just look at someone, you've kind of done it in your heart. Not kind of, you have done it in your heart. And so the chances that this guy survived without doing that, slim to none. But it doesn't change Jesus' posture. That's the point this morning. Jesus doesn't say, I wish you would have come to me truthfully. No, Mark very astutely, and none of the other gospels that I know of, you can check me on that, say it. Mark's heart sees it. And he says, Jesus went from this tense to this loving posture. You've done it too. I've done it. You know, Freddie or Serenity do something wrong, and I get tense. But then I realize this isn't going to help anything. And so I drop my arms and I say, come give Dad a hug. It's exactly what Jesus is doing here. This guy just says a lie or does something. He's not 100% truthful. And Jesus, in verse 21, it says Jesus changed his posture. He's no longer tense. Says, listen, just give me a hug. I want you to know that your Savior loves you. And he's not up there with his long finger pointing it at your chest. He's saying, come give me a hug. Love me. Give me your heart. Because this changed the entire conversation. And because he loved him and because he felt compassion on him, he couldn't leave him stay where he is. And this is the one thing if I wish the whole church could hear. When I drive for somebody to change, it's not for me. I want you to hear Jesus' heart here. Jesus is saying, because I love this man, because my posture is now turned and I've found the love in this man, I don't want him to be the same Mike or Steve or Brian that he's been his entire life. Constantly, this man has put riches above me. And so because I love him, because I care about him, because I have compassion for him, I'm going to say what I'm about to say. And that brings us to the next point. There's no time for heart obstructions in kingdom work. There's no time for it. And so before Jesus calls him to become a kingdom worker, before Jesus calls him to follow him, he says these words, "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Do you know that some translators take that word sad and they literally say, and maybe your Bible says it this morning, that he wept. This wasn't just like, ah, geez, Jesus. And walk away like, ah, oh, I can't believe he asked me to do that. No, this was literally the guy looks at Jesus, and I can only imagine this. I was not there. I'm only 43 years old. And so I wasn't there, but I can only imagine that the guy's mouth fell wide open and said, oh, my goodness. And I can imagine that tears just ran down his face. Man, can't believe you asked me that. And what Jesus is saying is, I don't have time for heart obstructions. And we hear that and we say, that's kind of rude of Jesus. No. See, he takes kingdom work very seriously. And he knows if this man steps into kingdom work, if he says right there, come and follow me, he's always going to put riches over Jesus' interest. And so because he loves him, he has to say, go take care of this. Then come and follow me. But until you take care of this, I can't have you doing kingdom work. Because you're always going to go back to that. Always going to go back to that. And I had a button pop off here, sorry. Always go back to that. But I can't have it. In kingdom work. And here's where it might not be riches for you. It might not be. It may be something else. And what God is saying is, trust God or your own mind. Are you going to trust God or your house? Are you going to trust God or your job? Are you going to trust God or your own heart? See, friends, it doesn't have to be riches. Some of us would look at this story and say, no problem. I mean, literally, I sometimes look at this story and I say, you want me to sell all my riches? I don't know how many poor people are going to be helped if I sell all my riches. But that's fine, Jesus. But when we do that, when we excuse ourselves from the story, we've missed the entire call of Jesus. And what Jesus is saying here is this. He's saying the same thing as he says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And here's what he says in that scripture passage. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." How does that fit this sermon, Pastor Bray? If that man jumps on the plow of kingdom service at this moment, if that young rich ruler says, I want to inherit eternal life. And he jumps on the plow, and Jesus says, come follow me. Here's what that young man's going to be doing as he's following Jesus. He's going to be on the plow, but he's going to be looking back at his riches. And he's going to say, I want to go back there, but I'm on the plow and I'm moving forward. Do you know what happens to plows and cows and oxen when you're looking backwards and they're going forward? They crash. There's an accident. They fall off the cliff because they're dumb. They are. They need you to stop them. And if you're looking backwards while you're doing the kingdom work and you're not stopping them, they'll just keep going straight. And so when Jesus changes his posture and looks at this man in love and says, go deal with this, then come jump on the plow, that's what he's saying to him. If you don't deal with this, if you don't give this heart up to me, if you don't give this part of your life to me, then you are no good on the plow, because all you're going to be doing is looking backwards. And that's how oxen get killed. That's how kingdom work gets disturbed. And so I wonder, how many of us have been sitting in church for 40 plus years? I have been. There's that one portion of the heart that if God came knocking and he said, I need you to deal with this before you can do kingdom work. You, like the rich man, fall sad. You say, God, you don't understand. That's you can't touch that. Now, wait a second. When you said that you want me to be the savior of your world, that goes to the next slide. Go ahead to the next slide, Tammy. Sorry. Or is it the video? There we go. You gave me the whole stole. When you said, Lord, I give you my life. You gave me the whole stole. You didn't tell me I could stand on those prongs. No, with the stole sitting over on that side of the stage by the piano, you told me I need to stand over here. Or you told me, God saying, you told me I can sit on that stool and you're going to stand over here. You're going to be far away from me because I'm making the calls now. What's this business of you trying to climb up on me? Trying to find a place to sit. And until you deal with that heart issue, it's exactly what you're doing. I'll take care of this, God. And you don't see it. You think it doesn't affect your church. How wrong you are. Just three people with heart issues that haven't given it all to Jesus affects us greatly. Sin in the camp kills the roots. And so what Jesus is saying with this encounter is, gentlemen, sir, if you want eternal life, give me the stole. Give me the whole thing. But God, I have this $1 million packed away in my little hut over here. It would be great, Rick. You are correct. I have this $1 million sitting over here in my little hut, and I'm always going to go back to get some of that because, you know, you want your followers to sleep in this kind of place? No, 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 no. You see, I'm a millionaire and I get to sleep in whatever hotel I want to sleep in. And what does Jesus say? Son of man doesn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. No, you see, God, I'm in control. And you know what God does? In his grace and in his love, that video is exactly right. Did you see what the woman did? take it. No, I don't want to take it. I want it given to me. Take it, God. I want it given to me. I want you to freely say, here it is. Sit on it. Make my decisions. I don't want it thrown at me. Natalie Grant wrote a song by the name of King of My Heart. We're going to go there in just a second, but just before we do that, there's some words in that song about taking him and putting him in a box. And we forget that he's king of our hearts. And I wonder, Faith Church, you won't be alone, because I know one other person that keeps portions of his heart. Says, whoa, God, don't touch that thing, man. I know one other person in the room. I wonder how much it is affecting us. Because I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. And so what God wants to be is the king of your heart. Not the king of the small box that sits next to your heart. Not the king that sits one cheeking it on the stool. He wants us to walk away from the stool and say, take it. And so today, when we play that song, that's what I want you to be able to do. And you know, some of you may not be able to do it. And you know what? I respect that. But I think it's fine time in 2019 that the Christian church look at this story. We've made it about riches. We've made it about making budget. We've made it about attendance. We've made it about everything but our hearts. And I'm done. Is he king of your heart? Does he have full reign of the stool? Does he have full reign of the stool over Faith Church? Or do we call the shots and he just kind of stamps them? Does he? Only you can answer that. I need to answer my part. You need to answer your part. And so in Mark chapter 10, Jesus lays the law down. And he says to this man, listen, you're not going to be any good to kingdom work if you're going to continue to look back. I pray today that when you fill out these purple sheets that are in your bulletins, you'll be able to say, I'm not going to look back now. God, if you want that part of my life, here it is. I'm not going to go chasing it down after worship. I'm going to leave it on the cross. It's hard, but I'm going to leave it on the cross. And so I pray you'll do that. So we listen to the song. And as you do business with God, again, the purple sheets are in your bulletin. And it simply asks you, what does God want from you today? What's the part that you're holding back? You can draw a picture. You can write a word. Trust me, I'm not going by. About the only thing I ever do is occasionally I count to see how many people came and responded to the call. But I don't read the papers. They're between you and the Lord. And what happens on Easter Sunday, we exchange that for a beautiful cross. And you say, well, what happens after they leave here? I'll tell you what happens. They go through a paper shredder that cuts it in 17,000 different directions. So no one reads them. They're thrown away, long gone. It's you and the Lord dealing business. Let's listen to the song and come if he's calling you.
Box that I've designed. to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're
pray together, and then we'll sing the closing hymn today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the King of the world. We don't have to build a box. We can put you into our hearts and let you make the calls. We can trust you because you're big enough and you're small enough to take care of us. And we're so glad for that. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to honor you and glorify you in all we do, think, and say for the rest of this day and for the rest of this week. That we may live for you and you alone. For Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.